Welcome to the Dork Forest. Jackie and her pals will never bore us. Shameless confessions
about our obsession
will make us laugh and smile. So let's explore the Dork Forest and dork out for a while.
Hello and welcome to the Dork Forest. I'm Jackie Cation. So I am your host of the Dork Forest. Dork, 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 dork. I have this to say about the Dork Forest. These are the websites, JackieCation.com, DorkForest.com, TheDorkForest.com. If you like a determiner, Family Pet Ancestry sends you to JackieCation.com because I like a joke. Anyway, those are them. You can listen to the show on iTunes or some sort of device that you've downloaded it to, or you can listen to it on JackieCation.com or DorkForest.com. You can email me at Jackie@JackieCation.com. If you want to say anything about the show, there's a Facebook Ranger page. I think it's called Dork Forest Rangers. And you just have to ask to join, and me or the woman who set it up will approve you, and then we'll find out that you really want to talk about shoes. Anyway, so other than that, let's do the credits. Mike Rickberg composed and sang the song you just heard with his wife, Sarah Cohen. Mike will sing his words to the Mexican hat dance at the end of the program. Patrick Brady's going to fix this audio, and Vilmos works on my website, JackieCation.com. JackieCation.com has, in addition to what Dork Forest has, which is a player and a donation button, it also has all my stand-up information and all the merch that you might want for the Dork Forest. There's a schedule page. The next week, I think I'm in Los Angeles. And then I'm on the road with Brian Regan and Maria in California. Very exciting. So that's on the schedule page. There's a merch page, a store page, where if you want a t-shirt, all union made here in the United States, includes shipping, I think. International might add $5. And there's a Dork Forest t-shirt, a Ranger of the Dork Forest t-shirt, and then there's a t-shirt from a stand-up special. Last album. This will make an excellent Horcrux. You can get albums. You can get DVD. And everything's available if you just want to stream it or get it from iTunes or Amazon electronically. But if you like a hard copy, that's where you get it. And I'll sign it. You just have to click the button or email me. What else? Oh, Bandcamp has premium episodes. I think it's thedorkforest.bandcamp.com. There are essentially 8 or 10 episodes that I did live that cost me some money. So I pass that non-savings on to you, I guess. And they're $2 a pop. And then there's also a storytelling album that I'm sort of compiling of stories that I tell. So, and that's $1, I think. So, long, convoluted, but let's get into the show already. Thank you. Hey, it's Jackie Cation. I'm in my living room in Van Nuys, California. I am sitting here with comic, fellow podcaster, and all-around good egg, Lana Turner.
Aw, thanks. You're a good egg, too.
And it's L-A-H-N-A.
Uh-huh.
T-U-R-N-E-R.
Yes.
.com, of course, at Lana Turner with the H. Now, people are going to want to know the name. Did your parents name you Lana Turner?
Yes.
There you go.
Yeah, but thankfully there's an H in it, so it doesn't spell anal backwards.
Well, that is ideal.
Yeah.
I was thinking about the old actress.
Yes. Yeah. Then I can also have my own IMBD and all that stuff because of the H.
Oh, nice.
Because she was Lana, L-A-N-A.
Oh, that's so, right. So
yeah, a little different.
Little different.
But yeah, they were a fan of hers, but I was born in a small town in Canada and nobody really knew much about.
So they threw the H in. I was named after Jackie Kennedy, so I mean.
Were you really?
Not, yeah. And there's absolutely, it's not like my parents knew the Kennedys. I think it was just the 60s.
Because your last name's kind of...
It's Cation. It's Armenian.
Kennedy, Cation.
No, no. I think my mother was just a big fan of... my mother passed away when I was very little, but I think she was a feminist, even though she was probably a feminist. I mean, she was just probably inspired by Jackie Kennedy because of how powerful she... You know, she was a together adult woman in a political sphere, and she was no Eleanor Roosevelt, but she was a pretty cool lady.
I wonder if there weren't a lot of Jackies that came out of that.
I think there were a lot. I keep meeting them. I keep meeting them. And so there you go. So Lana Turner, let's first of all tell people that LanaTurner.com, and then you'll probably have a YouTube page attached to that.
Yeah, I do. Yeah.
For this in September, because you're going to do a bunch of music videos, including a regular like music video parody.
All right, so not so much a parody, but more like this is my project right now. I've been working on it for a few months. I'm a comedy music act, and I wrote a lot of songs this year about, you know, it's amazing, Jackie. Like I've been doing comedy a long time, but it's been the most painful year of my life. My marriage fell apart this year.
Right.
And I have
I'm
written.
I'm so sorry for that. So.
It sucks. Yeah. It just fucking, it's the, okay, I can curse, right? It just yeah. it fucking sucks. And I loved him and still love him. And it's just bullshit. But anyways, like the whole thing stimulated the best comedy I've ever written. I mean, it just, it took all those years of experience.
I'm so sorry to laugh. And yet,
it's so
it
true
makes sense.
Though, right?
Yes.
I mean, you have like incidences and things from your life that you drew on that made you a comic in the first place. But to have like immediate, that kind of pain, like I had pain shooting through my body and it manifested itself in some of the best
stuff
songs.
You've ever written.
Holy shit. Like I can't believe it came out of me,
right.
some of the stuff. And I mean, it's killing in the clubs. And I had the opportunity to record it with a friend of mine who was one of the heads of Warner Brother Records. And so he took what was my good stuff and made it brilliantly good.
Because he's a professional.
He's the best.
Turns out he knows what he's doing.
In the studio. I've recorded other albums as well in the past, but nothing that came out this good.
So it's going to be an album too.
Yeah, well, I'm going to release that, and I'm making music videos. Because nowadays, I feel like everybody's so used to getting content for free. And, you know, if somebody wants to download off of iTunes, by all means, please do it. But I have no, like, expectation of making a ton of money that way. So it's my gift to, you know.
Yeah, you know, I found out that my last album, which was out 2 years now, almost 2.5 years, is This Will Make an Excellent Horcrux, guys. Guys, you could go. You've already gone. Rangers know. And, but it is on YouTube, broken up into tracks that someone has just posted.
Right.
And
not with your permission.
Not with my permission. But somebody wanted to hear one of the bits, and I have the track somewhere, but I just went on YouTube and I was like, oh, this guy is pretty convenient.
It's right there. You don't have to buy it. Wow, that's nice.
Well, and people don't have to buy it if they listen to it on Pandora or Spotify. But I was thinking yesterday, I was like, should I report this guy? Because I don't know. Because maybe he's a patent troll because it's a name of a business. I don't know. We could not take up your hour discussing my weird legal issues on YouTube.
You know, I think it's a question of what you want it for. See, for me, I want people to find me and love my stuff and then want to come see live shows. And be my friend on Facebook and all that kind of stuff. So that's my objective, as well as just get this creative energy out of me because it's been so stuck. So I, you know, Beyonce did that Lemonade.
That's
right, about Jay-Z and
yep.
And it was it's amazing. I'm not parodying it,
right?
But I am using what she did in a way. So I'm taking the 10 videos that I'm recording,
and
weaving them together in my own version, and I'm calling it Limeade.
Oh, there you go. That'll be fun.
and it's gonna come out around September, and so I'll release the videos and snippets, and I'll release the entire videos, and then I'll release the entire.
Are you gonna call the album Limeade? Because that's a great name.
I might. I haven't cut the album title yet.
Fair enough.
But the title of the mini movie will be Limeade.
Okay.
And it's hilarious. And I've got, you know, I feel like when you give like that energy to the universe, you say, I need something good to come out of all this shit.
Yeah.
And it's like, come back to me ninefold. I never would have wanted to compromise my relationship for professional success. I didn't for 17 years. I put my husband in front of me all the time. But now I'm kind of enjoying like my own.
Your own thing.
Yeah.
Do your own thing.
It's the first
man.
Time, really. And then the podcast, too. Like,
yeah. Now, your podcast is called The Perfect 10.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been on it.
You were wonderful on it.
And I never saw the video where you threw a pie in my face.
Really?
Yeah. You got to throw me that link because your timing was perfect. It made me laugh so hard.
You know what? I had an issue with getting some of those videos up on YouTube. Like, they're on my Facebook page. So I need to go back through and pull them off of Facebook. I had somebody helping me with my social media. I'm doing it all myself now,
right.
Which is another thing. I'm super empowered right now, Jackie. Like, I have barbecued for the first time. Like,
you have a grill?
I have a grill.
Is it gas or coal?
It's gas.
There
but
you go.
I was terrified of barbecue grills. Like, I'm just so girly.
Okay.
And so I for the first time a few months
ago. I'm lazy. That's why I don't like I don't like grilling. I make Andy do it. But here's
I've never turned on a barbecue grill, though, as a woman.
I'll tell you something. I've never turned on a barbecue. I've never turned on a gas grill, but just because nobody's ever in my life has ever had a gas grill. We've always had a briquette. Yeah, charcoal grill.
Which I think tastes better, right?
Like, I kind of like it.
Kind of
supposedly.
Point.
Yeah, I mean, gas grill, I have a gas stove.
Right.
I mean, I could just cook it in here if you'd like and put some lines on it. But what'd you cook?
So far, I've done chicken legs twice and burgers twice.
There you go.
And I'm
are you
so
having
proud.
People over?
Just
doing small, like, sort of social events?
Well, my kids mostly. And
oh, there
they
you
think
go.
Mom's awesome.
There
so
you go.
That,
who doesn't
you know,
love a grilled? How many kids you got?
I have two.
Two?
Yeah. boy and girl, a 6-year old boy and an 8-year old girl. And
sweet.
Yeah, I'm blessed. Yeah. I'm so blessed. But yeah, like those are things that I just feel like, oh yeah, I'm going to maintain my own social media as best as I can. And I'm going to grill meat and I'm going to wear all the hats because I'm a single mom now.
Yeah. Yeah. So what else? Now let's talk dorkdom though.
Dorkdom.
Let's go to the dorkdom.
I'm such a dork because I've kind of outgrown it like on the appearance part, but like, I feel like I've kind of come into myself, but I was the stinky smelly girl in junior high.
Oh, interesting.
Do you remember her?
There was always one. Yeah, there was always one. There was also someone who had grown too fast.
Or had breasts too soon.
Right. Yeah. That was me. And then I was also very, very silent. Unless you made fun of me. And then I was very, very mean. So,
really?
Yeah. Because, all we would do is read. So if you decided to discuss, to interrupt, my silent, mournful sullenness.
Oh, no.
Cause that's who I was. There's always that. So why did you smell, do you think?
Well,
as a child.
Well, before I would have been friendly to you. I would have sat with you while you read and just been awkwardly.
I wouldn't have
so
wanted
you would have,
to.
And you would have told me to get away.
Yeah, I wouldn't. I sadly would not have wanted
you. You'd have been lost, you smell.
No, I wouldn't have said that. I would have just been like, I gotta go. I have no idea why this person, because I didn't have any idea what friendship was for a long time. And then, but then I figured it out. And now I'm very happy. So it's all working out for me. But well, why do you think you were the,
history kind of repeats itself in life, right? So I kind of have somebody who I married who checked out, and I think I was kind of checked out.
Were you raised by
checked
out people?
Not entirely. No, I don't want to say that because my mom's a great person and a wonderful mom, but we moved, and I didn't have anybody to tell me how to shave my armpits or give me deodorant or shave my legs or any of that
stuff. Tell you to shower more often or change your clothes or.
It wasn't so much the showering or the changing the clothes. It was the becoming going from being a little girl to being a woman and needing somebody to take you aside and go, honey, you need to wear deodorant and give me a stick of deodorant and things like.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. And hey, you've got hairy armpits, like really hairy armpits now. And it's time to shave those. Here's how you do it.
Yeah, my stepmother never talked to me about that. I mean,
you just did it on your own.
No. I always wore pants and shirts. So I didn't, I had to shower a lot, but I'm the youngest of six. So she was constantly, and my brother stunk a lot more than I did because they were boys and yes. They were 14. And so there's something about a 13, 14 year old young man who is going through hormonic.
Right. They smell so bad.
It's not their fault. And but what I always think is funny is what would have been nice if Nancy Kashian would have explained what an applicator was with a tampon.
Oh, nobody explained that to me either.
I jammed the whole thing up myself and it hurt. And so I used pads until college.
You know what? I did that too. I stuck an applicator.
Who finally? Did you get a book? Did Margaret tell you? Did God tell you? Who told you?
Eventually, my mom came around to it. But I mean, I was a new kid in a new school, and I had the smelly pits and the hairy armpits, and she sent me to my cousin's bar mitzvah in a strapless dress.
Oh, interesting. Yeah. Without any shaving or anything.
No, and my other relatives were like,
"Did they let you in on it?"
So they were a little, you know, it's one of those things where you don't want to necessarily get involved in your, you know, you don't want to piss off your family.
Oh, do you feel
getting
like
involved.
You don't
but
want to interfere?
I remember my grandmother taking my mother aside and trying to talk to her about it and this sort of like awkwardness and nothing happened. It didn't help? No, not at that point. Eventually my mom sat me down and we took care of it.
But were you like 14 or 15 by that time?
Yeah, I was probably, well, what grade? Let's see, we were 8th grade maybe. Like
8th grade was 13. So
we moved from Canada six, so like 7th grade.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Somewhere. Well, that's
that's pretty dorky.
Yeah. But I was thinking, the definition of the dork forest is what you enjoy a lot.
Yes. Well, that's even better.
Yes.
What you geek out on.
Right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's what you geek out on, what your dorkdom is, what you're a nerd about.
Yes.
And so I was like, well, what do you really like to do? And you said you like to travel.
I love to travel.
So where do you travel? I mean, you travel for stand-up.
Right.
All the time, but then you also travel for fun?
Yeah, as much as I can. This summer, I'm actually taking my kids to China for 10 days.
China?
Yes.
Holy shit.
I know. It's so exciting. They've been learning Mandarin, and their school that they go to has a little program where...
Are they Chinese?
No.
Okay.
No, you know who their dad is.
Right, no, but I thought they might have been adopted or something.
No, no.
But because, you know, if you do adopt Chinese children, it's a kind of a nice thing to take them to China.
Right. Bring them back and show them how good they have it here.
Or see, to have them escaped. See what they... Also, see where people that look like them.
Right.
It would be really nice. It's like when you adopt black children. Figure out how to fucking do their hair.
Right.
Don't be an idiot. Go to an inner city salon and go... Hi, I'm super white.
Right.
Help me.
Help me with this hair.
Which,
yeah.
By the way, is in Lori Kilmartin's joke, How to Be a Shitty Mom. Or it's a really funny book about, and one of the chapters is about if you adopt a kid from another race. And so it's just crazy. But so where are you going in China?
Just Shanghai and Beijing.
Have you been?
Never.
You've
so
never
I'm
been?
Pretty
have
excited.
You been to Asia?
Yes.
Have you been, where have you been to Korea?
Yeah, for good USO stuff.
Oh, you for stand-up?
Yep.
Okay, well,
yeah,
that's
I've done
neat.
A lot of the comedy USO, but like through stand-up, I've gotten to go to, you know, all the different...
Right, right, but did you get to go out of, off the base
yeah.
and go get noodles and stuff? Or?
Yeah, and see, in Japan, you see the banana lady.
What's the banana lady?
Have you ever done the USO? Oh!
No.
Oh, there's a woman in Okinawa.
In Okinawa?
Yes, who does a show with a banana. And she's like kind of famous. I think Doug Stanhope did a bit about it.
Yes, she did. Yeah. Yes, he did.
Yes.
You're talking about a sex show.
Yes.
Where she shoots a banana out of her vagina.
Yes. I've seen the show. It's hilarious and gross and sad all at the same time. But what was really funny about that was I saw the show.
Okay.
And then when the tidal wave, the tsunami hit Okinawa. And my first thought was, like, I don't know anyone in Japan, but I was like, the banana lady.
Right, right.
Like,
that's the only person
okay.
that you met.
Yes.
I didn't really meet her.
She.
Oh, right,
she
right.
She touched my head with a dollar, which made me feel like I was going to, like, my whole body turned to stone. It was disgusting. But, like, she walks around the room and, like, who wants the banana? And, like, walks around with a dollar and touched me on the head with it. I don't know why, but that's what she did. And,
but
immediately my thought was, oh,
banana.
I hope she's okay.
Right, right. Did you look her up?
I think she's fine.
I bet she's fine.
If not, she just got really well-douched.
About the banana lady that makes makes me think that she's going to survive most natural disasters.
She'll come through.
Someone will protect the banana lady.
She's been doing that show for, like, I think she passed the lineage. I think her daughter is now doing
that. Oh, interesting.
Yeah,
okay.
Like,
so
it's
she
a skill
explained.
Set.
It's a skill set that she passed on.
It's hilarious.
I like it because you have to explain how to use, like, the Kegels and the actual. You're like, all right, so think of England and then take a left and then that shoots the banana out.
I've never tried it personally.
No,
I don't know if I could do the show or not. If I was ever in a pinch, I was like, I have to do this.
I don't think I could shoot anything out of my vagina except for the things. Well, you've shot a couple of children out of your vagina.
Yes, that has happened.
But that so there
you could probably do. I don't think that it's something that anyone could not do.
It's a learned skill. I think it's a skill set.
I don't know if it's learned or, you know, I think we all have the ability.
Right.
We just have to sit down and actually put a banana to work.
Right.
Figure it out.
Put a banana to work.
I don't think.
Fair enough. So, well, that was Okinawa.
Yes.
Anything else? You see anything else in Okinawa?
No.
Okay. How about Korea? What'd you see in Korea? Did they take you out to lunch?
You go shopping and you, like, eat the bibimbap and lots of shopping when I went because it was so cheap when we went the first time. The second time it was more expensive, but I don't know why. I think the dollar was weaker.
Sure.
And then I love Asian food.
Yeah.
Like if I have my choice of
Did you go to Vietnam?
I'm kind of Asian in a way.
Did you go to Vietnam at all? Or?
No, I haven't been to Vietnam yet.
Or Laos or Cambodia?
No,
haven't. How about Thailand?
Yes.
You've been to Thailand?
I've been to Thailand. That was for fun.
That was on vacation.
Yes.
Were there more banana people?
Did not. We went to the Pat Pong, I think is what it's called, where there's like all these crazy shows and stuff, but we did not go into the show. I was with my soon-to-be ex. We were having a lot of fun dating, but he's very...
You were just dating at the time?
Yeah.
Okay.
And so he's...
And he took you to Thailand on a date?
We did a USO tour, and then we went there after.
Okay.
Fun.
Okay.
But he doesn't travel well. He's...
No, he's a big
massive.
Guy.
Massive.
Yeah.
And, I don't care to say his name, but like... My husband's a comedian as well, so people can look him up. It's Ralphie May. He's a big fat fuck. He's a big guy, right? I don't say fat fuck with any meanness in my life.
Right.
It's just he's really fat. And at the time, he was like probably 800 pounds because he was really big. He hadn't had gastric bypass at that time.
But so you guys went to – yeah. Well, I don't necessarily want to talk about Ralph. I mean, you want to
no,
talk,
I don't talk
is
about
Ralphie
either,
May your dorkdom? I don't think so.
No, not at all.
So,
but in the context of the traveling, because otherwise people are like, because
he's a big guy.
She's going to be like talking about being with a fat guy, and like nobody really gets it unless I say, no, he's like really fat. So, and I loved him no matter what size. So I don't think it's a dorkdom, but it was definitely like we went, he could not walk safely through areas like Patpong and
because it was too crowded.
And he drew a lot of attention to himself because people aren't used to seeing
huge guys,
people that big.
And what did what happened?
He got scared. Like people were touching him a lot and grabbing him, and
they were like, "What is that like?" Or something sort of like blonde people in Africa in the 1800s.
Yeah, like a good example of that for me was I went to India like years ago. Yeah, that was just for. Also, after college, I traveled. I worked through college. I was a photographer. That's something I really geek out on, too. I used to work as a professional photojournalist. And fortunately, I didn't have to pay for university. My parents took care of that. But I worked all the way through school. I wasn't a good student, but I loved shooting images. So I worked for, like, Associated Press and all kinds of, like, big – like.
Where'd you go to college?
Shit schools in Texas. Just, like – well, I shouldn't say shitty, but, like, party school.
Did you go to university?
Yes.
What university did you graduate from? Did you graduate?
It's now called Texas State, but it was Southwest Texas when I went.
Okay.
So
it's a state university in Texas.
Yes.
There we go.
It's a party school. It was fun. But I
So was the University of Wisconsin-Madison, but I graduated.
Right.
So there you go.
I got my degree, which is really the only – you know what the thing the degree did for me was I was able to temp when I got to L.A.
There you go.
So that was like the big thing. I was able to make like $300
a week. So don't forget to graduate.
Exactly.
Because then you get to temp and you don't have to work at Jamba Juice.
Exactly.
You can sit and answer phones and then be bad at that.
Yes.
And they'll move you along and then you'll go to a different place.
And you can work your way up to doing what you want to do, which is –
Or just, you know, you can do whatever you want when you're not temping.
Right.
Which is the ideal thing that we all want to do. But you got to have a job because you don't want to be a burden on society.
Exactly. Thank you. I like that little speech.
There you go. That's it. Feel free to sew it on a pillow, folks. Rangers know my opinion about gainful employment.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's important. Yeah. Well, I was able to be employed. And, you know, but after I finished school, I saved up some money and I went overseas. So I went to Israel, Jordan, Egypt, India, and Nepal.
Wow.
And
so did you go – and this is your 22, right, or 21?
When I was – right after graduating.
Right after
school,
graduating.
Probably 22, yeah.
Yeah. So you're traveling now. Are you on – are you backpacking?
Sort of.
Some of it?
Yeah.
And then some of it you're like sitting in a yurt and learning about Judaism?
Well, it's called
you get to go.
Alpan. And it's like, I lived on a kibbutz.
Yeah, all Jews get to go to Israel and live at a kibbutz if they want to.
If they want to. It's like a birthright thing.
It's a birthright thing.
It's
and
crazy.
You're like, I'm off.
Yeah.
And you get, and that gets you to Israel.
Uh-huh.
And then what did you, so.
I spent 5 months on that, program.
Yeah.
Which was amazing. It's like, you live in this weird little farmish kind of thing, and I packed screws in boxes. Like, they put you to work.
Sure.
And, I mean, like little screws in boxes, like all day long. It was crazy. And then you study Hebrew.
Wow.
Which I wasn't very good at.
That's my brother was in the Moonies for a year and a half. And, they put him to work too.
What is the Moonies?
The Moonies is a cult. It's like Hare Krishna, but it's Reverend Sung Young Moon. You're not familiar with the Moonies?
It sounds awful.
Well, it's lovely.
For a year, he got out of it, though.
Yeah, yeah. We kidnapped him to program him. But, the weird thing is they put him to work and he was, They tried to have him selling granola at the airports and stuff like they did in the 70s. And then he wasn't very good at it because he wasn't making any money. And my family is a huge fan of a commission.
Right.
So if he's going to be in a sales position. And so then they had him in the fields. And we're also not really set up for real hard labor. So then they put him in the factory where he compiled stuff. And so that's what but they definitely find a job for you that you like. Was everybody putting screws and stuff? No, everybody had different jobs, right?
Different jobs. But that particular kibbutz, there's like a lot of them all over Israel. Some of them are like, there's a really famous Yokvatech one that does all the dairy for the country. And it's,
oh, neat.
Yeah. Like you can get all, so I was,
you
placed,
can kind of learn if, about stuff, if you wanted to. Yeah.
Well, but they also do school. So they teach you about this one that I did, they teach you about the history of the country. And then you're supposed to learn the language, but I didn't do a very good job. You know, it's backwards. So I didn't do a good job with that.
Oh, fair enough.
Backwards.
Oh, because it's right to left instead of left to right.
Yeah, that's my excuse.
Moshe Kasher was on the show and a very, very good episode of The Dork Forest where his dorkdom was Judaism. And he went back and went to the beginning. And I got a lot of information about it's a really great episode. If you ever want
to learn all about
to Jews. Learn about the Jews, you can listen to Moshe Kasher, who's very funny and very fascinating. So you did 5 months of that, but then you could just go travel by yourself.
Well, yeah. Then I went. Like I said, I'd saved up some cash while I was in school, and so I went to Jordan and then Egypt for a few weeks. And
did you get to see the pyramids?
I did.
Did you ride a camel?
I did.
Holy crap.
I ride a camel actually in Israel, not in...
Before?
Yes. For like 5 days. It was like a five-day camel adventure.
Oh, they took you on a camel adventure?
Yes.
Did you go to the lake? The sea?
The Dead Sea.
The Dead Sea. Did you go to that big lake that the Israelis are around? Yeah. They love that sea.
The Dead Sea thing. I actually... Nobody had warned me that you can't stay in the Dead Sea for more than a couple of minutes.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And so I was in there bobbing around for like an hour. You get really sick.
Oh, do you?
Yeah, because...
It's all salt?
It's salt and pollution. It's the lowest point on Earth.
Oh,
so you're like floating
in
and it drains your body of like
all of its
yes.
All right,
because everybody was upset by the fact that it was salty. If you have any cuts or whatever, it can hurt, or it can hurt your vagina or whatever. It didn't bother me in that way, so I just hung out. It was awesome. I'm like I'm
and quiet. Nobody yelled, "Hey, Lana, you might want to."
Yeah, you're gonna get sick.
You're gonna get sick if you don't get out of the weird, polluted, but very beautiful where we all vacation sea.
It's called the Dead Sea, so if you stay in there too long, you should have taken a hint.
There's nothing like being 22,
right?
And
so I came out of that and vomited for like 12 hours straight.
Fair enough,
but it was worth it.
And you got to ride a camel on a 5-day camel trip.
I got to ride a camel.
You didn't happen to see that city in Jordan, did you?
Petra.
Yeah.
Yeah. Saw it.
Fuck.
It's fucking amazing.
God.
You gotta go.
I know.
Do that.
Petra. I need to see Petra. It was in the Lord Empire Strikes Back. Indiana Jones.
Indiana Jones.
It was in all of the movies that I've ever wanted. It's just Indiana Jones.
It's probably one of the coolest places I've ever been.
Yeah.
I mean, it's unbelievable.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you got to do, did you go on tours?
Not on that type of, for those, for that part of my journey, like when we were in Israel, it was sort of part of a tour.
Yeah.
I did a lot of adventuring on my own. I did some stupid adventuring even. I hitchhiked.
Yeah, yeah.
Which That'll is really
be,
dumb.
Not bright. But, I did that through Italy. It wasn't smart.
Anyway. I mean, I'm alive, but it was probably the dumbest thing I've ever done.
Every story that ends, and then I wasn't killed, is... I was thinking of naming my autobiography that.
Right. I survived it. So, it was a really dumb thing to do. So, yeah. But...
it wasn't great, but do whatever you want to do out there. You know? Yeah. I mean, the thing is, live your life.
Well, it was fun. It was an adventure. But like the Jordan and Egypt part of it, I did with another woman that I met on the kibbutz. And she was...
Oh, so you had a buddy.
Yeah. So we traveled together. We had so much fun. We played tag and stuff at different,
ran around and saw stuff.
Yeah. And like lived life. And we were on a low budget. So everything was super duper cheap.
Youth hostels. And
sleeping on the roof of a... Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Stuff like that.
That's awesome. So you saw the pyramids.
Uh-huh.
And obviously the Sphinx.
Yeah, I did in Egypt was amazing because I did it's a felucca trip. It's a boat. I even remember this guy, Captain Ziggy, was the captain of this little ship.
It was a boat trip?
Yeah, down the Nile. So I just rode on this felucca.
What?
It's a little boat and you sleep on the boat.
Yeah.
And you wake up with the sun coming up and
And then you go into town and see a thing.
It pulls
maybe?
Up to basically all the cool shit to see is along
the Nile.
The Nile. So you just get off the boat and then you're right there and you go pay your little bit of money and go walk, run around and
What was his name?
Captain Ziggy.
You think he's still working?
I don't know. I just remembered Captain Ziggy, which he was pretty much high the whole time.
Fair enough. Mm-hmm. I'm sure he is, it's just, he's going up and down the Nile and how long was that trip?
I think it was 5 nights or something like that.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
And it included lodging.
Yeah.
So
it
did it include food or?
Some food
anyway.
Yeah, it costs a little bit. But, when you go to – one of the reasons why I decided to go to India especially is because I could be gone for a long time. I mean, from when I was already in Israel, I was like, okay, I could go – I thought I'd go do Eurail.
Yeah.
Which I still haven't seen a lot of Europe.
Right.
I need to get on to that. But anyways, so my original thought was, oh, go home, go do Europe. I could have afforded maybe – 3 or 4 weeks in Europe.
Yeah.
But if I go India, Nepal, Jordan, Egypt, these places, I wanted to do Turkey and, you can go for a long time. I mean, India, I was able to live for pennies a day.
How long were you in, like, sort of, did you spend like a week or so in each of these countries?
No, I spent months. Well, Jordan and Egypt was like 3 weeks.
Okay.
About 5 months in Israel. And then I spent about 4 months between India and Nepal.
Okay. So you spent 4 months between India and Nepal.
Yeah.
So where did you, so you saw the Taj Mahal?
Yes.
Oh, fuck.
Yeah.
Okay. I want to see the Taj Mahal.
And, I know. It was really cool. But you know, I mean, the Taj Mahal is amazing, but for me, the Himalaya was what's up.
Because okay.
Then, you know.
So you went to the mountains.
Yeah. And you know, a man made the Taj Mahal, but when you're in the, I did a trek in the Himalaya. I did a couple things. Like we did some mini treks, and it's really funny. Like this.
Did you go with this woman also?
No. So I met another person on,
at like a youth hostel or something.
No. Well, you know, I had met this guy. He was a sweet guy. I met him on the kibbutz, and it happened to be that he was planning on, he was wanting to take a trip.
Okay.
He was, he had gotten out of the army, and he grew up on the kibbutz, I think a neighboring kibbutz than the one that we were actually on, but he knew everybody that
right.
I met. And so we were kind of paired up to fly to India together.
Okay.
And we landed in Delhi, and then we kind of stayed together and went to the hotels and things, like, you know, just started, like, cause you know, it's a little scary. I figured I'd meet up with other people and just go. But once we landed, he and I just stayed together.
Just
and
stuck it out.
Ended up dating, which was convenient. He was really handsome.
Sure.
And really active.
And you were 22 and you're traveling.
Yeah.
So, and the thing is I think it is better to travel with a buddy, you know?
Yes.
I mean,
oh, yeah.
I always wanted to travel alone. I went to Italy alone by myself, and this woman from Mexico, very nice woman, not particularly actually, but she was like, "You're not going to want to travel alone. I'm coming with you." And I was like, I didn't want to find
her. Well, you met her in the hostel?
Yeah.
Or?
Yeah.
Oh.
And I met her in Florence. And then I was going to go to Naples because I'd always wanted to go to Naples because I had read a book about pizza in Naples.
Of course.
And also about dirt bags. And I wanted to see, because it was supposed to be kind of dangerous. And I wanted to go look at that.
Right.
And she was like, "We're not going to Naples." And so
who the fuck?
Right. Exactly. So we went to Rome, and then she hooked up with a dude, but we got to see the Vatican. I would not have gotten to see the Vatican,
okay.
But I didn't get to tour the Colosseum, which is, I was almost a classics major. Allow me to correct. And, but I love ancient history. And so, I ditched her in Greece, and I went through Yugoslavia, and she went back through Italy. So.
Well. Yeah, I mean,
in the long run, it was better that I traveled with somebody to some extent.
It's all part of the experience is the way I look at it. I mean,
yeah.
You can't do everything, and you got to leave a couple of stones unturned so you can go back and find out what you missed.
Well, that's the cool thing is going back to a place that, like, have you ever been back to India?
No, I want to.
Wouldn't it be cool to see what it looks like, you know, years later?
India taught me it was probably the most life-changing thing I could have ever done because it's so different than how we live here. Like this year for me was really shitty. Like I lost the person that I loved so much and like my hopes and dreams for the future. I always thought like when you divorce somebody, it means that the love dies and that changes, but your plans die.
Well, yeah.
And so that's really painful, but I sit there and I feel a little, I'll have a pity party for maybe even a couple of days. And then I reflect on India. And I think about this guy that I was traveling with, Gil, and I had a running joke because there's nothing else you could do but make jokes. So we were in this one town and we would leave our little hotel and go on our day adventure. We were there for a week. And every day we would walk past a woman and she was begging in the street. And I'd be like, oh my God, she doesn't have a nose. She
right.
didn't. She had a hole, two holes where the skeleton would be for
right.
your nose. No cartilage over it. And he would go, in his Israeli accent, he'd go, "No, she has a nose." And I'd go, "No, she doesn't. There's no nose. It's just
right.
two holes." And he'd go, "There's a nose." And so we would go back and forth with this until it became hilarious to us. So even when we left that town, we'd be just bored hanging out somewhere, like maybe eating dinner or like on a bus for hours. And I just look over and go, "She has no nose."
Yes.
And then he'd go, "No, there's nose." And we'd just crack ourselves up with this no nose. But because it's so surreal, like you can't believe you're in a place where somebody doesn't have a nose. So no matter how bad life feels to me sometimes,
okay.
I have a nose.
You have a nose.
I should always have a nose. And
let me tell you something, Alana. That woman?
Yeah.
She had a nose.
Did she? No. There was no nose.
No. She had a nose.
No, I swear. There was no nose. Like a little, like holes where her nose would have been.
That's where her nose is.
No.
That's her nose.
No, there was no nose,
Me and
Jackie.
That guy, that Israeli guy, we agree.
No. No, there was no nose. No.
You were looking for a flashy bit that would hold her nose.
Yes.
But, She's got a nose.
Okay. All right, fine. You win. You win, you.
Exactly.
Jackie and Gil.
Me and Gil. Yes, Gil, wherever you are. I'm sure you're listening to this.
Yes.
And so did you guys take trains?
All over the place.
That's how you get around,
buses,
right?
And trains and elephants and...
You get to ride an elephant?
Yes. I actually told this... I had forgotten all about this, and my podcast with Nikki
Perfect
Wants,
10.
Perfect 10 gets a little raunchy at times.
Okay.
And Nikki,
note to self
and I were
and everyone.
Talking about like the craziest place you'd ever given
Do
someone
it.
A hand job.
Oh, a hand job.
And that was
Very
on the back
specific.
Of that elephant.
On the back of that elephant?
Yes.
That's hilarious because you're like, are you bored? I'm bored. Would you like a hand job?
In the jungle of Nepal looking for a rhino.
Okay.
And what else do you have to do? The poor guy was staring at the elephant. But I forgot all about that until recently. But yeah, we were on all kinds. We were on rickshaws and, you know.
Okay.
Yeah, like it's an adventure and
yeah.
It was a great time.
That is cool. What are the biggest cities? I only know.
In India?
Yeah.
Bombay and
Mumbai.
Delhi. And I got really sick though. I mean, if you're going to go, there's a couple of cool things I should tell you, but I got really sick in a city, Varanasi, which is a very famous city where you see the pictures of people putting their deceased family members into the Ganges.
Oh, right.
I got so sick there. I had to actually
Did you go swimming in the Ganges? Please
Good
tell
Lord,
me you
no.
did not go swimming
no,
in the Ganges.
It was the filthiest place, but I did go whitewater rafting in Nepal on a river that was a tributary. It fed the Ganges.
Off the Ganges?
It's above the Ganges. It's like in the mountains.
Oh, okay. So it should not have been.
It should not have been polluted, except because it feeds the Ganges, the people in the mountains burn the bodies next to the river and bury their bodies under rocks. So there's like two different customs.
So it's like it's essentially more Ganges. It's more dead body Ganges.
It's all dead bodies. But
okay.
It's, where I was, it was beautiful because you're up in the Himalaya. But still, every day you are rafting.
And then they still take you rafting.
Yes.
On the polluted
it's
dead
like
body.
It's like a 4-point. Well, it wasn't. I wouldn't say it was polluted, but what it is that as you're rafting on this river, every couple of hours or so, depending on how busy the, you know, the death is that day.
Sure.
You'll roll past either a body being burned next to the river, so you'll see a body on fire.
Sure.
And or you'll smell
a body
decomposing.
That has been, okay, because
next
been,
to the river
because they've been buried under rocks.
And the bodies will wash out. So there was one day where I didn't see it, but there was a body like floating in the water next to us.
Right.
I luckily didn't see that, but
yeah.
But it's you remove that part of it, and that's cool in a way because you're seeing something you're never going to see here.
Sure.
But you're also in a beautiful place floating on going over rapids, and that was a few days of the adventure. So yeah, that was really rad.
Yeah, so. That's well, that's cool.
Yeah.
That Thailand and Nepal. And Nepal was the rafting.
Yeah, and Nepal was also, if you really want me to go on about it, because I'm geeking out right now.
I do want you to go on.
I did something called the Annapurna Circuit, which is a 12-day hike up in the mountains of the Himalaya. It's a loop. So some people will go and hike to Everest. When I said stones unturned, I want to one day go do the walk up to – the people walk up to Base Camp Everest and they'll either walk in and walk out. It's one way in or out, or they'll take a helicopter ride in and walk – either way, one way or the other. We just decided to do Annapurna because it's a loop.
Okay.
So it's a 12-day loop, and the highest point that we went to is 17,516 feet.
Wow.
And so we crossed that pass, and at the end, my feet actually bled.
Wow.
But it was the coolest thing. I love that type of thing, and I can't wait to do it again. You know,
like,
my life has changed so much. Even going to China with the kids or whatever, I can do that now because I couldn't travel all these years, really,
so
not
you're
properly.
Going, right, but you're going to go to Beijing with the kids?
Mm-hmm.
And where else?
Beijing and Shanghai. A couple of the cities near Beijing.
Right.
I don't know all the names.
I was just in Hong Kong, and they asked if we wanted to go to Beijing.
Did you perform?
Yeah. But there was no... So you haven't been to Hong Kong?
No.
How is that possible?
And
so you've been to Japan and Korea.
Uh-huh.
And Tokyo? Did you go to Tokyo?
Uh-huh.
Okay, yeah. And then... but no Hong Kong. How about Indonesia?
Not yet.
Me neither. I haven't been and I studied Southeast Asian studies in college.
I went to the Philippines for one day.
Okay, you were in the Philippines. That's
just for
neat.
One day, but we were supposed to go.
They do excellent work with chicken.
Yes.
Anyway,
you're so correct. And most cultures do actually.
They actually do, but I really do
Chicken's
enjoy.
Hard to not be good. Like any kind of chicken dish is always just.
The only real thing that I have against chicken that you eat out that is a skinless, boneless chicken breast, that's fine. When you bring it into your own home, bring a chicken into your own home. There's no need to, you cook it. And then take the skin and the bones off after you cook it because it has more flavor. Because all they're doing in the restaurant is adding sauces to it to make it taste like something because it's a hockey puck.
Right.
And so.
I see what you're saying. So you take the chicken, but it has to have the breast, like the bone and the skin.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because it tastes way better.
Yeah.
I get it.
That's how you should cook chicken. If you're going to grill more kinds of chicken.
On my barbecue grill.
On your barbecue grill, which you have.
Yes.
And sure. I have many chicken recipes.
Yeah. I need to learn all kinds of fun ways of, I actually did a whole chicken. I forgot about this on the grill because a friend of mine said you can stick beer in it. So
oh, the
I did
beer,
that.
You did a beer can chicken?
Yes, and I did this. Like, I took the chicken. I did a whole chicken on the grill.
You
I
buy
forgot
a whole
about
chicken.
It. I took a whole chicken and shoved it. It's very
does
angry.
Does it feel sexual?
Yes, and dirty when you stick the beer inside. You just ram it inside the chicken. And then I coated it.
You're having
it.
A different experience with that chicken than I am because my mother-in-law gave me one of those. It's a ceramic thing that you perch the chicken
on. That's what
top.
I have. And you jam the chicken on top of it.
Right, but you can also just do beer if you don't have the ceramic thing.
Just do a can.
You can just do a can of beer. And if you put beer, if you leave beer in it, it seeps through. You can also put like red wine in that space.
Yes,
you can
or apple juice.
Or apple juice. Yep. Or you can do a garlic lemon and it will infuse the chicken. It's and so you essentially put the beer can on the and poke a hole in the side of the beer can so that there's there can be some sort of not in the bottom because then your juices will flow. Weirdo Magoo. Anyway, in the ceramic thing, it's set up so that you don't have to worry about it. It just sort of evaporates into the chicken.
Right.
But with a beer can, it's different. Anyway, but so did you do it with a beer can on top of the gas grill?
No, I did. I have that thing that you
have that ceramic
so it kind of sits in a tray, and I dropped it on the grill. But I also put mayonnaise all over the outside of the chicken, which somebody had recommended. I've never done that before. It's a total...
It can't possibly go wrong.
It can't go wrong. And it came out so good.
Right, because it crisps up, and it's just egg whites and lemon juice. So mayonnaise is a wonderful thing.
Yeah, it was really good.
You can you can do that with butter or olive oil as well. So which also crisp up the skin. But mayonnaise is a hilarious American moment.
I did it.
Yeah.
I did it. Yeah.
And it tasted amazing.
It came out really good. It was like a really moist, yummy chicken.
Now we're talking about my dorkdom, which is chicken, because here's the thing, when you cook a whole chicken, then you have to carve a chicken.
Uh-huh.
If you buy a chicken cut up, first of all, it cooks faster, and you don't have to carve it. You can just hand someone a piece of chicken. So you prefer it cut up, but
skin on.
But skin and bone in. Yeah, that is my preference in the world of chicken. But we have definitely weeded off from the Philippines. You just spent one day in the Philippines?
Yeah, that was kind of a crazy story. To work in Guam, and we had these...
Who owns Guam? Do we own Guam?
We have bases there.
Of course we do.
And
but
it's part of America, but it's not really America, right? I don't really know how that works.
Okay.
But I've been there a couple times, actually. I think I've been there 3 times.
Right. I know we have bases all over it, but
it's awesome.
But yeah, good.
It's really fun. But on our way, we flew through the Philippines, and we were going to fly back home through the Philippines and stay on an island called Boracay. And there were some passport issues with my daughter. I wasn't on top of getting her passport properly squared. But when we landed in the Philippines, we ran into an issue. I don't fully get it. But basically, I think you're not supposed to fly through country on Philippine Airlines. Or they looked at us and said, we can get money out of them. When we got off the plane,
possible.
They detained us and didn't let us fly to Guam. And
so it wasn't a great experience.
No,
your
it was
one day
crazy.
But
we were going to go back and actually spend some time there. The typhoon came and killed 17,000 people. So something crazy like that. How can I complain? Like, typhoons aren't killing me. Like, life is good. So, so we got there and it was awful. The kids were exhausted and my soon to be ex was passed out in the waiting area. And I was trying to juggle 2 little children for like 6 hours in the waiting area. It was bleak and awful.
Oh, wait a minute. On the episode of The Perfect 10, you told me this story.
Did I?
Yes.
About the Philippines. And then we
about
had to
the Philippines
hotel.
And Ralphie, and it was a disaster.
Well,
and he was not available.
It might not have been the Philippines. It might have been just about any other story in the past five years.
No, it was the Philippines.
Was it? Okay.
Yeah. I'm sure it could be
really any story that starts out with, I was by myself with the kids and he was passed out. But sure. I don't know if that.
Right.
It was sort of the beginning and end of every story, at least since he got sick.
But the Philippines, I am so sorry to tell you, the Philippines does not count as a country that you have been to.
Because I haven't really gotten to spend time.
Because I want you to ride an elephant or fly on an eagle.
Yeah, I had to get in this car with people that I didn't know who they were, and they drove me to this really remote area of the city where I had to purchase flights to get us out of there. It was really crazy.
Right.
And I got coughed on and sneezed on, and then we got super sick.
Sure.
All of us.
That'll happen.
Yeah.
The thing is, the world is full of vectors of disease.
Yes.
Just little vectors of disease are constantly sneezing and touching each other.
Well, that's another thing I geek out on, by the way. I geek out and get fearful so much of the things we don't see that can kill us. I wash my hands obsessively.
Oh, do you?
Yes. Okay. I don't touch doorknobs. Like, I'm weird like that.
I'm building an immune system, so I'm constantly...
You're smarter than me.
Well, I don't think so, but I just... I just feel like if I'm killed, that's how I'm going. I don't think I can stop the time... I certainly
can't stop
microscopic.
It. No.
Yeah, so I'm just gonna...
But when those, like, little things pop
I'm gonna
up
flush...
On,
oh. Here's something nobody needs to know. Okay. I flush other people's toilets. Like, if they don't flush the toilet in the public room, I'm one of those people that's like... What the fuck is your problem?
I flush them too, but I use my foot.
Okay. Well, I flush with my hand and then I go wash my hands.
Yeah, no, I flush. But, I use my foot because I'm I'm not touching it.
Okay.
Yeah, in public restrooms, that's the thing because it's just the whole germy thing.
So essentially, I'm touching where your foot was.
Yes. So yeah, you better wash your hands. I don't like touching bathroom doorknobs at all. Like, that's just because people don't wash their hands.
Well, and people leave towels on bathroom doorknobs. They're like, I'm bringing a towel and I'm going to turn this doorknob and then I'm going to leave the towel there. And I'm like,
I think that's just
littering.
That's rude.
It feels like littering to me.
Yeah, that's rude because then you've got to touch the towel that they had in their hand and who knows the condition of the hand and why do I trust that towel?
Exactly.
So that's where my mind goes.
Exactly.
The whole thing is just, ugh.
Yes.
Yeah.
And anywhere else in Africa? I want to go to Algeria.
Well, Africa, I guess in Africa, Egypt was the only place. I do too.
I've been to the airport in Ethiopia and I said to the, and I've been to, Djibouti because of and I've told this story before, which is when we did the show in Djibouti and this young Marine came up to us afterwards and he was like, hey, are you guys coming to Kenya? You guys coming to Kenya? And I was like, to my knowledge, we are not going to Kenya. And he said, well, there's only like 50 of us and we're not really there anyway. And I was like, out loud? Shh, WikiLeaks. Keep it to yourself.
Yeah.
We're not really there anyway.
Djibouti, too. You can just say that all day long.
Well, you may insert your own joke.
Yes.
Because that is clearly. But the thing, in Djibouti, they took us to the, to you know, they took us to the, I was constantly, I always wanted a cup of coffee, quite honestly. And in Ethiopia, they grow coffee. And I love Ethiopian food.
Right.
And so.
So good.
I'm an international food traveler. Is
Except
what I would
when
like
you're
to
on
be.
Base, they're not giving you Ethiopian food, are they?
No, you get ice cream cones,
right?
And we didn't go to a base in Ethiopia. We flew through Ethiopia and Oman twice. No, Ethiopia once. But the layover was so long in Ethiopia that I wanted Ethiopian airport food, but we were just flying through, so we were quarantined. In this tiny glass, you know, plastic bubble, you know, mime. And so I said to the soldier guy, I was like, seriously, this is the first time in Ethiopia. Can I just go buy some Ethiopian food across the hall? Cause I could see a restaurant and he looked at me and he was like, yeah, come right back. And so I went and I got some Ethiopian food and I brought it back and, it was pretty great. And Ethiopian Airlines, weirdly enough, serves fish. Gutsy stuff serving fish on an airplane.
I was going to say that's kind of good and kind of frightening.
Well, if anyone has fish, we're all having fish.
Yes.
Because you're on a tube and someone is cooking fish.
Right. And
so when they said, would you like chicken, lamb, or fish? I said, well, clearly I'm going to have fish. In any case, I'll have the fish. And it was the shortest flight, but they gave us a full dinner. And Alicia Cooper, she was like, I can't believe you're getting fish. And I was like, you're going to have fish too. And so she did. She ordered, I think she got the chicken or the lamb.
That's hilarious.
And she was like, yeah, this tastes like fish.
Well, it is fish. It's just airline fish.
Well, it was airline fish, but everything tastes like fish when you cook fish.
Right.
You're fucked.
Yeah.
You're having fish.
Right. Whether you want it or not.
Right. Right. So
just have fish.
Right. So you haven't been to like Morocco or Algeria or any of those Northern African ones? I totally want to go to those.
Me too. I mean,
how about Spain? Have you been to Spain? I've never been to Spain.
I haven't done as much of Europe. I've been to Italy and London, England.
Right. And then you were.
I just went to London last December. So that was pretty cool. Yeah. I took the kids to see some castles and they got to see some torture.
Okay. You go to the Tower of London?
Yes.
There you go.
Yeah, it was awesome.
I kicked the step that Anne Boleyn was buried under. Sure, what the heck? I was like, hey, wake up. No, I don't know what I did, but I think I was high.
But being a history buff, like.
It was super fun.
Yeah, it's so fun.
Yeah. And so you took the kids to London. Did you get to see the Harry Potter thing?
No.
We
went to the
little.
Cogsworth? Is that what it's called? Cogsworth? There's
Hogwarts?
Like this area of England where it's very, like where people who live
Charing
in London
Cross.
Will go there and kind of get away from the city for the weekend. So we were there actually for New Year's and we went to stay in like this, I don't watch Downton Abbey, but we stayed in a hotel that's sort
I totally
of right
called
next
it
to
Downton
there.
Abbey, by the way.
Is that what it is?
Downton.
What is it called?
Downton.
Downton Abbey.
It's Downton Abbey because they're British.
Downton. And, Downton.
But I totally called it Downton Abbey. It was like a year. And I'm like, yeah, fuck you. So what? Anyway.
But yeah, that's
But
a
I know that there's
trip.
A range. Yeah. So you guys went, that is a tame trip, mm-hmm. but it's good to see it, you mm-hmm. know? And then did you take cabs around and see Piccadilly Circus and go to see stuff?
I did some stand up too.
Oh, where'd you go?
Just to a couple different.
That'll
write
that creates a write-offable ability.
Right.
So there you go.
I didn't even really think about it like that. Yeah. I mean, I just kind of wanted to, for me, because like I said, this year's
Did
been so crazy.
Did you go
so
to the store?
No. I went up at, oh God,
like
I did
an
like Angel Comedy, and I did like four spots in different rooms.
Well, that's neat.
It was really cool.
How long
cool.
were you there?
About a week.
Okay.
Yeah. You know, it was kind of my independent. I'm just going to go do something for myself. I need to.
But you took the kids.
I took the kids, and
that's not for yourself. That's with you and the kids.
But the kids are an extension of me at this point. I mean, I don't even know how to not be with the kids. I'm with them all the time. But and they're good little travelers. But no, I didn't take them to the comedy nights. The comedy night for me was kind of my first opportunity to talk about my life and what had been going on in it in a safe environment where nobody really knew anything about my life. So when I came home. I was like, I can talk about myself comfortably and some of the things that have happened because I did it there. And
You did it there first.
I was able to peel back a layer that was.
That's good.
That is otherwise challenging here because it's not private. It's been on TMZ and it's, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Here, but nobody gives a shit there. So.
Yeah.
So it was really.
You just want to do stand up.
Yes.
And you just want to talk about your life.
Without having.
Without anybody knowing who you're talking about or caring anything about it and going, oh, man, why is she judging? And you're like, no, I'm just trying to talk about my life
and
not what he's doing.
Right.
Or he's going to write different jokes.
Right.
I don't want to hear them at this point, but maybe one day, but not today.
There's something about busting the cherry on getting that sort of going on a stage. Several stages where nobody,
So that was UK. When did you go to Italy?
Oh, that was USO.
Oh, that was a USO
thing.
Yeah. Okay.
That was years ago. And it was
Karen Rontowski did that USO run, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah. So was that where did you go to did you do the Navy too?
It was the show. I think it was just one show. You know the $800 hammer or the $10,000 latrine? You know,
no.
The military is famous for.
Oh, yeah.
Like
going
a
toilet
hammer
seats for $1 million. Yeah.
Yes. I felt like I was that shitbox for like $1 million because they paid to fly us to Italy. We flew to Rome and then we went down to, I think it was Sardinia. Which is a little island, beautiful.
Off of it. Yeah, it's what the boot's kicking.
Yes. Yeah. And it's an island where French and Italian people vacation. It's sort of, it's just gorgeous. It's white sands, white cliffs, beautiful. And we were there for like 4 days and did one show and the boat was out. So there was maybe 40 people.
Oh,
and
right.
It was so.
It felt anticlimactic.
Well, the show was, but the vacation
was amazing. Yeah.
We took a spaghetti boat tour. We ate spaghetti and ride on a boat and jump out the.
That's awesome.
It was amazing. I dove out of the window of the boat into the water and swam to the shore and then swam back out and got on the boat when it was time to leave.
Which is insane.
Insane and lovely.
Insane. It's like one of those weird perks you get as a comic where you're like, who took me to see the Great Barrier Reef? Because I'm doing stand-up comedy in Australia.
Did you get to go? I haven't been to Australia yet.
Oh, my God. It was
Did you do the festival?
I did 10 weeks in Australia, so I did a 9-week tour of the country.
You see me? I'm just like, oh.
I know it.
Because I've heard that's such a fun run. I need to figure out how to get on that.
Well, every year I ask them if I can come back, and every year they say no.
Oh,
so shit. 2005.
All right.
So, I know it. And so
I'm wagging my tail. I want to go so bad.
It was the Melbourne Comedy Festival, and then they do a 9-week road tour afterwards. And I was the last year that they let anybody do the whole tour, because usually you come back an alcoholic. And luckily I went in an alcoholic, so it was fine. And so the first 4 weeks were with mostly young Australian comics, and the last 4 weeks were with really awesome, like more my age kind of European comics. There was Stuart Lee was from the UK, and David O'Doherty is from Ireland. And
I love it. You see, it changes your whole take on stand up too when you get to hang out with comics from, because the humor and the timing and like the it's all, I love that.
And just to meet different comics that are the top of their game in their countries.
Right.
Are it's just awesome. And so I had the time of my life, but it was, this 9-week tour, there was a tour manager. First of all, I would always like a tour manager, please. Guess how long it takes you to get used to a tour manager?
One minute.
Yeah. You're like, and
planning
I would also.
What for me?
Exactly. And I would also like to
you
stay.
You need a handler. I need a handler. I do. I need somebody to do everything for
me.
Sure.
It'd be the sweetest life in the world if we each had a handler.
Right. Everybody, it doesn't matter if you're on tour or anything, just in life.
Just you work at Kinko's, what I also need is a handler.
Just to make sure I'm taken care of all the
time. Right. All times. And so, they made sure that we did touristy stuff, which is what I like about some of the tours. And the USO tours or I do mostly armed forces, or I did. I haven't done one in years, but not since we were supposed to go to Afghanistan and they killed bin Laden. Mm-hmm. And then instead we went to Africa. So, they plan touristy stuff for you, which is kind of cool because I want to go places, but I would mostly just sit in my hotel room. Like when I went to Hong Kong, it was 10 days in Hong Kong, and I did 4 shows, and then I did 2 open mics, and I did a live Dork Forest. I had a live episode of this show. Hmm. And luckily, and I didn't make any money because the guy who booked it was like, well, you can make money or you can buy another ticket and bring your husband. And I was like, well, I'll be bringing my husband.
Right.
But if I hadn't brought Andy, I would have sat in my hotel room. I mean, Michael Dorscher would have got me out of that hotel room. But we went and saw more Buddhas. I've seen a lot of Buddhas, you guys. I've seen.
You gotta go see Buddhas.
There's giant Buddhas, there's tiny Buddhas, there's Buddhas in a row.
Right.
And then there was a lot of Chinese food. It was wonderful.
Nice.
But Hong Kong is actually much
Lots of chicken.
A lot of chicken.
Yeah.
But it looked like, it was essentially like New York. It was the least foreign country I've ever been in, Hong Kong. It was like being inside a bank at all times. And if they didn't speak English, they quickly found someone who would. And it was because it was a British colony for so long. And
you can get by with English almost everywhere. That's the kind of sad in some ways.
Right.
Yeah.
Because like to try.
Yeah.
Have you been to France?
No.
I have never been to France
I've
either.
I've seen France from...
A distance?
From Italy, yeah, but yeah.
Ta-da!
Looked at it.
Yeah. Germany?
What's that?
Germany for
I've been to
troops.
Germany.
Yeah?
Yeah, we went to Germany for USO, which was funny. The funny story about that is that we did a show, and apparently you can't mention the Holocaust when you're performing in front of... I didn't know. I was really young in comedy,
That's
too.
Weird. They mentioned the Holocaust.
I made a reference to having gone to Dachau earlier in the day, because I did some sort of... Like, we rode the train to Dachau. I don't remember. It's so stupid. Like, 6 million served. Like,
right.
It's like a McDonald's reference. Yeah, yeah. And it wasn't well received by the higher ups in the, I don't know. I did a couple of things, but it, funny to me.
Sure. Which is, I think, what comedy is about.
Well, you drop a Jew in Germany and then you go do a show after visiting Dachau. Right. You kind of have to acknowledge it. That's my thought.
You know, I don't know if you know Hannes Finney. He's a comic that I started with in Wisconsin. They have a podcast. He has a podcast called Storytime where you get to tell stories. And Hannes' mother was in Hitler Youth. when what? She was nine.
Wow.
Yeah, she was made to join.
Right.
And I used to
She's
do a
nine.
Joke. Right, she was nine. And Hannes and I dated back in 83, 84 when I first started doing stand-up comedy. He was my first boyfriend. He was a comic. And I used to do a joke about how she was nine, and but I met her, though. So I think she wanted to join. And because she was a very intense woman. But she passed away, and he is doing these jokes. She passed away in Germany. And he tells this story about, and he's got a bunch of jokes about it, but the only one I remember offhand is HannesFinney.com, you guys, PH, story time, go listen to it. But, his mother wanted to be cremated. But to be cremated in Germany is actually takes a great deal of paperwork and 6 weeks. And he said he was so close to saying to the doctor, you would think with your experience that you could have somehow
expedited
pick this.
That.
Yeah, you could expedite this. And he's got other punchlines. But I was like, holy shit, that's dark.
Yes.
And I don't know. I hope it's well received. I don't know how well received it is. So you're going to Beijing for 10 days with the children. We're at an hour, by the way.
Oh
my God.
That was the best hour ever. Because
right, and we
out.
Haven't. Right. We haven't even. And you want to go to Northern Africa.
I want to do that. And yeah, I mean, probably the. Most, I'll say this in the end, the craziest place I ever got to go and perform was in Iraq. Because we were like some of the first comedians to get to go in, and we got to fly around in Black Hawks.
Right.
We actually dodged an RPG missile in our Black Hawk.
Wow.
Yeah, intense. Mm-hmm. There was RPG missile fire every night.
Mm-hmm.
And I got to perform on the footsteps of Saddam Hussein's palace in Baghdad.
Right.
And look out. I watched the sunset while I was on stage in front of a sea of about 2,000, 20, maybe 3,000, somewhere between there, military personnel, all in uniform.
Yeah.
And it had to have been one of the most incredible. It was just incredible. Got to swim in Saddam Hussein's pool.
Right.
And sleep in the palace.
Right.
And sit in the chair that says death to the Jews and all that stuff. Like it.
Nice.
Yeah. And mm-hmm. and I used the golden toilet.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
To sit on that. So
I stayed in his guest house. So in whatever Camp Victory.
It was Camp Victory, yeah. Oh, so you've been there. Isn't that amazing? It's like
it was crazy. It was insane. And it was we stayed in his guest house, which half of the things in it were real. Like the parquet floors.
Right.
And there was beautiful, like real marble stuff, and then the chandeliers were made out of plastic. I mean, like if you had given my grandmother $1 billion.
Well, is it because they took the real chandelier and somebody had to put something up? Because the whole place got ransacked.
It got ransacked, but I don't think they would have gone with a plastic chandelier. They would have gone with just a light bulb
because
are a bunch of soldiers.
Right.
So
that was the original chandelier.
Yeah, that was the original chandelier.
Which is good because nobody was going to take that then when the place was
raided. And the golden fixtures were gold paint in the guest house, not in the palace.
Oh.
So, you know.
So nobody took them.
Nobody took them. And nobody, the parquet floor was gorgeous though. And then, what was the most horrible thing of the many things that were horrible about Saddam Hussein, and it is this is not to justify the 100,000 Iraqis that have been killed, but the most horrible thing that he around his guest house, he had different like follies, right? Like different like things that were built that he could look at from his guest house. One of them was a mother-in-law house, and another one was a whorehouse that he had children in that he could screw, because if it's surrounded by water, he had a belief that God couldn't see him. Anyway, he was a little out of his banana head. Anyway, but the water that this lake was in Iraq, was drinking water that he diverted from the people of Iraq.
Oh.
And so one of the first things the soldiers did were like, hey, did you guys want your water back? And so they mostly drained it. And so it was a lot lower. And it was just sort of this shallowy kind of, and you could still go fishing because there were fish the size of, but they returned most of the drinking water to the people of Iraq. So I was like, who the fuck steals the drinking water in a desert?
You took the water. Dude,
yeah, that's,
you're a dick.
That's one of the most horrifying things. And
like,
granted,
it doesn't get more. You can't get more.
The screwing of children, that's pretty horrible.
Well, yeah,
but the thing is the drinking water affects not just children, but everybody.
So he had like a special house for like a fuck pad on his property.
Yes,
but it was like
it was for supposedly girls that were 11 to 14.
Oh.
Yeah, so. cheerful end to the Dork Forest.
Yay! So, I always like to end on a little molestation. And I think feels better.
You went to Saudi Arabia, I bet, too, right?
I have not been there yet.
Oh, well, let me tell you, downtown Saudi Arabia has an Applebee's.
Yeah.
So
I think they're everywhere. I watched the sunset over the pyramids from a Pizza Hut.
That actually, we're going to close on that.
Yeah,
because I don't mind that.
Than that.
I don't
mind that. Thought.
Yeah, because Pizza Hut, I don't actually mind Pizza Hut.
Yeah, you can sit in a Pizza Hut and watch the sunset behind the pyramids.
I want to just go for a freaking day trip. And then have pizza. Hey, Lana Turner, it is at LANA Turner, TURNER, on Instagram and Twitter and all the things. And it's LanaTurner.com, which has your dates for you to do stand up. In September, you're going to be putting out Limeade, which is a series of videos that will be one big video that is sort of like lemonade. And you have a great on All Things Comedy, allthingscomedy.com, you guys.
All Things Comedy.
We both have a podcast on All Things Comedy, and her podcast is called Perfect 10. Thank you so much for doing the show.
Jackie, thank you. That was really fun.
Excellent. And Rangers, you know the rules. Take care of each other out there.
My hat. They're dancing around my hat. My hat. Well, what do you think of that? If it looks like a Mexican hat dance and it sounds like a Mexican hat dance, it's most likely a Mexican hat dance. So take off your hat and let's dance.
Yay! Oh my God. Thank you. Why don't we just call that as the end of the show?